Okay, we start here on Nizayin Amud Aleph by the Mishnah. Kol nichnasim ladir litaser. Everything goes into the corral to be counted towards the 10 for maser. Chutz min akilayim v'treifa v'yotzei dopen v'chusr zman v'yatom. So all the exceptions here, we actually quoted this earlier in the perek, that the exceptions to those that can come into the corral are something that is kilayim. Kilayim, we know, is a mixed breed. Something that is a treifa. Treifa has one of the treifot that we've mentioned in Chulin. Something that is a yotzei dofen. Yotzei dofen is a cesarean section, did not come out through the birth canal. Chusr zman is something less than 8 days old. And yatom, which the Mishnah is about to explain, is an animal that lost its mother, basically yatom, koshmeita ima, oshenishchata, v'achar kach yalda. Its mother dies or is shechted while the baby is being born or before the baby has been born. Shu'omer, afilo nishchata ima, if the mother is shechted, v'ashelach kayam, but the outer skin is still around, ein ze yatom. That is not classified as a yatom. The Gemara will explain why that is. Menan emile, detan rabanan, shor, okesev, prat, li kil ayim, oeiz, prat l'didme, ki valeid prat l'yotzei dofen, v'ayah shiva t'mim prat l'mechusar zman, tachatimo prat l'yotom. Here you have the limudim, this is by regular kodeshim in Vayikra Chav Bet, shor kesev, the o kesev, that additional tells you no kilayim, no mixed breeds. Oeis teaches you that it can't be something that looks like another species when it's born to a mother who is a sheep. It shouldn't look like a goat. Ki valeid, that it's born is prat liyotzei dofen, a cesarean section. Vayashivat yamim is prat mechusar zman. For the first 7 days, it's disqualified. So that's mechusar zman. And tachdimo is prat liyatom, that has to have its mother there. Shmo benosh Rabbi Yochanan ben Brok Omer Nirmar Khan Tachat Oshovet Nirmar Lahalan Tachat Imo. Says here by Maser at the end of Sefer Vayikra Tachat Oshovet that they have to pass under the staff in order to be counted for the Maser. Over there in that pasuk it says Tachat Imo. So we learn that Exer Shava of Tachat Tachat Malahalan Prat Dechol Hashem Otalalu. Just like by regular Kodoshim, all of these are excluded. Av Pran Prat Dechol Hashem Otalalu. Also over here, you exclude all of these mumim, problems within the animal. Makan prat l'treifa. And we learn that treifa from maser behema. Because maser behema, it says, yavor tachat hashavet. It has to be able to walk under the staff. Well, if it can't walk, then it's a treifa. And that's why a treifa is excluded. Af lahalan. So true by regular kodeshim prat l'treifa. So that teaches us all of the problems that we see in our Mishnah with regards to Maser Behema. They all derive from this pasuk by Kodeshim in Pashat Emor through Gzeira Shavo, Tachat Tachat, except for Treifa, which is actually learned out of Maser Behema to other Kodeshim. Now, the Gemara says, Hakol, the Tuye, Mai. So this is, in general, the Bavli always wants to know when you have a headline in the Mishnah or a general statement in the Mishnah, which you would normally have said is a general statement, colon, here's the details. They always say that that general statement must be teaching you something, must be adding something to the Mishnah. So, akule tuye mai, tuye hadu darabana. So, what does it mean that anything can be used for maaser, except for the ones that were listed here? What does it mean? Everything. Comes to include even these items. Hadatana rabanan. Harove, vanirba, vamukse, vanevad, vetnan, vamechir, vetumtum, vandroginus. Vanichnasim ledir, liitaser. Comes to include all of these items that would be normally disqualified with regards to kodoshim. They are not disqualified when it comes to being counted towards Maser Behema. You just wait for them to have a moment, and Nechal Balim. They can't go on the Mizbeach, but you wait for them to get a moment, and Nechal Balim outside of the Mikdash. So if they have a nearby bestiality with a man or a woman, Mukseh, something that was designated to be used towards to be mukrav the avodah zarah, ve'ne'vad, something that was worshipped as avodah zarah, etnan is in exchange for the services of a harlot, and a mechir is something that was sold in exchange for a kelev, for a dog, tumtum and androgynous. We've discussed in previous parakim what the problem is here. All of them are not a problem with maser. Rabbi Shimon Yehuda Omer Mishim Rabbi Shimon, tumtum ve'androgynous enich nasim ledir le'itaser. Comes to a tumtum and antrigonus, they cannot be counted towards the 10. But tana didan. Let's understand our Mishnah. Igamar tachat tachat mikodoshim. If he learns out the gzer shev from kodoshim, why don't you have all the same qualifications as kodoshim? Hanen amilo. Then why are these okay? They're not okay by kodoshim, so why are they okay by maaser behema? Ilo ilolif. If he doesn't learn out the gzer shev of tachat tachat, hanen minale. Where does he know the exclusions in our Mishnah? things that are not. For instance, Yatom, Mechusar Zman, where does he know them from? Because they're all learned out of Kodeshim, they're not learned out of Maser Beima. Right. Tosfos mentions that it's subsumed under Kilayim. The Mishnah in many places, even though they're not the same, even though Kilayim and Nidmeh are not really the same thing, nevertheless, Nidmeh always sits next to Kilayim, therefore you should assume that if it says Chutz Mina Kilayim, it also means Chutz Mina Nidmeh. It's a top Tosafot, if you want to see it. Lolam Gamir does learn out that Gzeres Shavah of Tachat Tachat, but what does he do with regards to these other issues? Bahane Rachmana Rabinu. These additional mumim, or problems or kodeshim, come through a ribu in the pasuk. Dichtiv, ki mashchatam bahem, mum bam, lo yiratzu lachem. This is the pasuk that teaches you that these items are disqualified for kodeshim. It says that if you have these mashchatam, this shchita, this problem, then mum bam, they have a mum, lo yiratzu, and they will not be L'ratzon, they will not qualify to be korban. So now, V'tana debei Rabbi Shmuel explains this. Kol makom shnevar hashchata. The word hashchata in the Torah is a code word. Whenever it uses the word shachat, destruction, in v'lo dvarva v'vodah zara. It's referring to things that deal with sexual issues and with worshipping idols. Dvarva, how do I know that? Dechtiv ki ishchit kol basar etar kol alaretz. It's going to the pasuk by the Mabul, that they had problems with regards to illicit relationships. Avodah Zarah, Dichtiv, Pen Tashchitun, Vasitin Lachem Pesel, Tumrat Kol Samel, Tavnit Zachar Unikeva. That's found in Pashat Etchanan, about not following Avodah Zarah, not going after Avodah Zarah, any image, and that uses the term again, Tashchitun. So we see that the context in which Hashchata is used refers to illicit sexual relations to Avodah Zarah, and therefore over here, when it says, Ki Mashchatam Bam, what was the destruction that was in them? It must be that it was Erva and Avodah Zarah. But then, the additional qualification is, V'chol she'amum posel bo, davar Erva v'odah zah posim bo. Anything where the mum would be problematic, then the Erva and Avodah Zarah will be problematic. V'chol she'amum posel bo, anything that the mum has no impact on, ain't davar Erva v'odah zarah poslim bo. That's because the pasuk says, if you have mashkatam bahem, if you have a problem of Erva v'odah zarah, then mum bam. It has a mum velo yiretzu, and they will not qualify. Well, who doesn't qualify when it has a mum? That's regular kodeshim. Maser beima, we know it says lo yivaker ben tov l'ra, that there is no disqualification of mum by maser beima. Maser beima is maser beima, whether it has a mum or not. Question is what you do with it. If it has a mum, then you the balim eat it. If it doesn't have a mum, it ends up on the mizbeach. But either way, it's kadosh with maser beima. So based on that, v'hai meiser, ho v'lo pasul bei muma, since it doesn't have, mum doesn't affect it, dechtiv lo yivakir ben tov dhra, v'lo yimirenu, dvar erva, v'rezara, nami lo pasul bei. Therefore, v'rezara and arayos have no impact on it. Arroveya v'nirba is dvar erva, mutze v'nevad is avodazara, v'etnan is a dvar erva, u'mechir itkash le'etnan, they're brought on the same pasuk. Etnan zonan, mechir kelev, are brought on the same pasuk, so there's a juxtaposition that brings us a hekesh. So just like Etnan refers to a Dvar Erva, Mechir will be included in anything that deals with Dvar Erva. Tumtum Banjoginus. So what about Tumtum Banjoginus? Kasavar Sveikuhu. So the Tanakam holds that a Tumtum and Anjoginus are a suffix. It's either a Zachar or an Ikeva. And either one qualifies with regards to Meiser Behema. We don't care, it's irrelevant whether it's a Zachar or it's a Nikeva. Therefore, either way, whichever way it turns out that a tumtum nandrigos is, either way, it's qualified and we don't worry about it. Shimon ben Yehuda, remember Rabbi Shimon, he said that tumtum nandrigos were problematic for Meiser Behemar Kasabar. He must hold, the girsa here is obviously problematic, he must hold Birya, he, that's Birya b'fnei atzma, that its own tumtum nandrigos are a separate category, they're not male or female, they're something else. And then, Mi'et Rachmana, Gabe Kodeshim, Zachar Vadai, and Ekeva Vadait, Velo tumtum nandrigos. So just like by Kodeshim, you have to have either a proper Zachar or a proper Nikeva, not something that is Ben HaShmashot, something that's in between, that is a twilight type of animal. Therefore, Maiser Nami, Gamar Tacha Tacha Mi Kodeshim. Since we have the Gzer Shoba, Tacha Tacha, that teaches us the Mumim by Kodeshim, applying to Maiser Beima, so too, that requirement of an absolute male or an absolute female will also apply to Maiser Beima, and Tumtun and Drivenos will be problematic. So that explains the Breita, as well as our Mishnah, for the sources of which Mumim are problematic, and which Mumim are not problematic. All the Mumim that are found in the Pasuk of Tachatimo, Those mumim do apply to Meiser Behema because of the Gzer Sheva of Tacha Tacha, Tacha Dimo, and Tacha Ta Shovet. On the other hand, all the other mumim, which are mumim that relate to Erva and Avodah Zarah, those are learned out of the Pasuk of Mashchatam Bam, and since they are correlated with the problem of mum, and by Meiser Behema you don't have the problem of mum, you're also not going to have the problem of Erva and Avodah Zarah. The only thing left was Tum Tum and Andrigunos, and that really relates to what you think a Tum Tum and Andrigunos is. If you think they're just pure safek, then they're going to be fine. If you think they're a birya bifnatzma, then you're going to have a problem because they don't qualify by kodeshim, and they're not going to qualify by ma'aseh behema as well. Tanu rabbanan. Hakol nichnasim ledir leitaser chutz min akilaim v'atreifa divrei Rabbi Lazer b'Rabbi Yehuda ish kfar partuta shamar mishum Rabbi Yoshua. Amar Rabbi Akiva ani shamati emenu, I heard him v'af yotzei dofen b'chuser zman v'yatom. So we have the Tanakama who quotes him and says that the only problems here are kilayim and treifa by meiser behema. Rabbi Akiva adds in the additional three items that are mentioned in our Mishnah, which are yotzei dofen b'chuser zman v'yatom. So that would then equate it to our Mishnah. Equating, we understand how Rabbi Akiva is going to get to his position. What we don't understand is how did the Tanakama get to a position where these only two items that are problematic. Tanakama, igamar tachat tachat mikodoshim, if he learns the gzer shava that we just spoke about, then haninami lo. Ve'ilo gamar, if he doesn't learn it, bishlama treifa, we know that the source for treifa is in Meiser Behema, because that's kol asher yavor tachat ha-shavet. Tiv, prat the treifa. Sheno averet, because that doesn't walk under the shavet. Ela kina'ayim minole. How does he know kilayim then? Le'olam gamar, he does learn it. He learns that the gzer shava tachat tachat. If he learns out the Gzer Shava Tachat Tachat, then what does he do with these additional three? Yatom, Mechuser Zman, and Yotzei Dofen. So be Yotzei Dofen, Sover Lo, Ki Rabbi Shimon. He holds like Rabbi Shimon who we bumped into before, which is Yotzei Dofen Vlad Ma'alyahu, that when he's talking in human terms, the Rabbi Shimon says that a cesarean section of a child is a fully formed good child and has all the dinim of a child in terms of tuma, tara, all of those things, they apply to that birth. A woman who gives birth to a child normally is tamei, depending if it's a zachar or nekeva, 7 days, 14 days, and then you have the additional 66 or 33 days. If it has a cesarean section, you would think that that's not ivaleid. That's not born. Rabbi Shimon comes along to say even a Yotzei Dofen is considered to be a regular Leida, and the woman is Tmeah. Udalok Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan is Machloket Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokish that we've also seen, that as to whether Rabbi Shimon only applies to humans or also to Behemot. Rabbi Yochanan says that Rabbi Shimon's statement is only by human beings, not by Behemot. Behemot, he would agree by, like Bechor, it says Peter Rechem. That a cesarean section is not Peter Rechem. Even though it's a fully formed baby, it's still not Peter Rechem. From Bechor, we'll learn to all other Kodoshim. So that's Rabbi Yochanan's belief. Rabbi Yochanan's belief is that the dinner of Shimon is by human beings, not by Behemot. Now then, Rish Lakish says, just like Rabbi Shimon thinks that it's a good Leida by human beings, he also thinks it's a good Leida by Behemot. Therefore, over here, this Tanakama is going to hold like Rabbi Shimon, that a cesarean section is a good birth, and not like Rabbi Yochanan, who says it only applies to human beings, but not to Behemot. He's going to apply it also to Behemot, so like Rish Lakish. Bechuser Zman Savalaki Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda. By Mechuser Zman, he's going to hold like Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, we just saw recently, that by Mechuser Zman, it can't be Mukrav al Mizbeach, the Meiser Behema, but it can't be Kadosh. It goes into the Dir Leitaser. So Mechuser Zman for Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda is not a psul. It goes in, it just doesn't end up on the Mizbeach until it's deferred, until it makes it past the 8th day. Yatom, Kagon Sheshelach Kayam. If the hide of the mother is still around, then it's not classified as a Yatom. Rabbi Shua the Tameh. Remember that the Tanakam is quoting in the name of Rabbi Yeshua, and this is Rabbi Yeshua like in our Mishnah. Damar, afilu shechatat imo, v'shelach kayam, in zeyatom. It's not qualified as zeyatom. So basically what we've done is, he agrees to all five of the problems that are mentioned in the Mishnah, just three of them are not problematic, because he is aligned with Shitot, that don't think this is an issue. He's aligned with Rabbi Shimon, not only with Rabbi Yochanan, that Yotzei Dofen's not a problem. It's aligned with Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, that a Mechuser Zman is not a problem to go into the corral to be counted towards Maser. And like Rabbi Shua, who is the author of this position in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shua says that Yatom is not a problem as long as you have the hide of the mother around. Rabbi Yishmael ben Satriel, Me'arakat Levena. So Rabbi Yishmael ben Satriel, we haven't heard from him before, who derived, comes from Arakat Levena, is the name of the place, Lifnei Rabbi, came for Rabbi, and he says, Bimkomenu, in our place. And now he's going to quote, there are going to be a series of items that he quotes about from his location. Mafshitin et ha-meita, We skin the hides of a mother that has died. Umavishim et achai. Bimkomeinu mavshitim et meita. In our city, mavshitim et meita, they skin the hide of the mother who passed away. Umavishan et achai. And then we wrap up the surviving baby with the hide of the mother. Samarabi nizgala taimo shomishnateinu. Oh, now I understand what Rabbi Yeshua's position is in our Mishnah. Why does Rabbi Yeshua say it's not a yatom? What's the problem with the yatom? The yatom needs its mother to keep it warm, to protect it, to take care of it. So he says the mother can be manifest when it's alive, or if it's dead, it can be manifest through its hide, and use the hide to wrap the baby up, and that helps the baby to survive. Therefore, it's not classified as a yatom as long as we have the hide of the mother. And that's based on this little story that we heard from Yisrael ben Setriel, that this is how the practice that they had in there in his neighborhood. And therefore, Rabbi says that must be the reason for Rabbi Yeshua and our Mishnah. Now he gives another series of items that took place in his city. He says, Bimkomeinu, and this is, the girsa here is very messy. He says, either Chazirim Shibimkomeinu, now Chazirim here means lettuce. You can see in Rashi here it says Letuga, and down below, and there's a Rashi Ktav Yad that says that it's Laitunush, so it's the lettuces in our place. Yesh Lehem Shishim Ribo Klafim, Kebet Meses Shalom, that the lettuces in our neighborhood have 600,000 peels protecting them, meaning layers in them. That's one way to read this piece, that it's all one piece, referring to the lettuce. There's a girsa that's brought in the Shita Mikubetzet, as well as in the Rashi Ktav Yad, that actually separates them into two different statements. Look in the Shita Mikubetzet, Ot Aleph, you can say, he says, Nusach Acher, Kol HaSfarim HaYishanim, Shibi Adi, they all have this girsa. Shishim Ribo Klipe Alim, there's 600,000 leaves on the lettuce. Then another statement. Tayish shimbim komenu. The goats in our neighborhood, yesh tahem, samach ribo klipim bebeit ha-meses shalom. They have samach ribo, they have 600,000 klipim layers bebeit ha-meses shalom in their stomachs. Meaning that the beit ha-meses is part of their digestive system. They have 600 layers in the stomach of this animal. So there they see it as two statements, whereas the Gemara that we have as it as a single statement here. If you look in the Rashi that we have on the Gemara, he only sees this as being one issue of lettuce. The Rashi Ktav Yad below, and the Shita Mugetz is bringing this from all the other Sfarim HaYishanim that he has, that there is two stories that he's telling, one about their lettuce, and one about their goats. Then another thing, Bimkomeinu Pamachat Nafal Erez Echad, we had one of these large cedars that fell down, Shemkomeinu Babru, Sheshesre Kronot Al Chodo. We were able to set up 16 wagons on the point of the cedar. Meaning that the cedar, which is round, it's a trunk, that fell down. On the top of that trunk, long ways of the log, if you're standing looking from the top of the log down to the bottom of the log, they were able to fit across that and that width 16 wagons on chodo, even though it was rounded. Obviously, if you sliced it to make boards, it would hold even more, because then it wouldn't be rounded. So that was just talking about how big the cedars were in his location. Then he has another piece, which is Bimkomeinu Pamachat Nafal Beitzad Bar Yuchni. The egg of the Bar Yochnai, or Niyochni, he dropped the egg, Betava Shishim Krachim, drowned 60 cities, Bishavra Shloshmeot Arazim, and buried or destroyed 300 cedars. So that cedar that he just talked about, those sides, it buried 300 of those cedars. Mishajale? Since when does it drop its egg? Vakti, even Iyov, it says, Knaf Rinanim Nelasa. So the wings, or the waving wings, of the ostrich, and he waves his wings joyously. That's the pashpshat of the pasuk. The Gemara Darshan's Nelasa as a no trikun, that Nale, it takes it up, carries it, and puts it down without dropping it. That the ostrich, even though it's a large bird and its eggs are very large, it was given a large wingspan and it's able to carry its eggs without dropping them. So over here we see that the pasuk praises it for not dropping its eggs. So why did it drop its eggs here? Amaravashi, no problem, ha'u muzrata havai. That was a non-viable egg. The egg that he was carrying was never going to produce an offspring. Therefore, either it wasn't a fertilized egg, or even if it was fertilized, it would not get a viable outcome. And therefore, it dropped the egg because it didn't need it anymore. It wasn't going to be useful to it. And that huge egg drowned the cities and the cedars. Gemara brought the story because of the first instance, which relates to our Mishnah. And then it tells us the other little pieces here. Obviously, this is a garata that needs to be interpreted over here. What's interesting, more interesting, is that the first statement that he makes happens to have halachic implications. then it's not a gadatah. The whole thing, the first statement about the shelach is a statement of fact, and that fact relates to our Mishnah, but a fact that relates from a halachic standpoint. The remainder of the statements seem more far-fetched and exaggerations that either deal with, can you have something this size, or do they deal with something more agadic, which is the more likely scenario, but it's an interesting mix, because the first statement was halachic, and then the remaining become agadic in nature. Now the Marsha says, for sure, you shouldn't take these literally. Doesn't make sense that these are actually pashut pshat. But rather, mikom makom v'adayah lo nechta b'tamud rak larot al mekuvan b'inyaneinu. That it has to be that there is some sort of allegorical meaning here in these statements. So first of all, he says, Samach Ribo, we know Samach Ribo always refers to Klal Yisrael, the 600,000 of Klal Yisrael. And then each of these is then referencing or making a veiled reference to something about Klal Yisrael. The lettuce refers to the soft peel on the outside and then it gets hard on the inside. And the Beit HaMessis refers to the Klipot HaTumah. So the Bnei Yisrael who were in Mitzrayim, in the depths of Tumah, that they had to peel away the masas, the ma'us part, in order to get to the point where they could receive the Torah. The lettuce, the idea that there are 600,000 people, many different deot in Klal Yisrael, and that mitchilato rach v'sofo kashem ramaz ki mitchilat deotam letzad tumah. In the beginning, they have soft deot, meaning that they don't think in the right way, and then eventually they end up at tzad tara, koshi ba'olah. That hardness means it takes a lot of effort to get there. So both of those, according to Mashar, referencing the beginnings of Klal Yisrael, who started out from the depths of Tumah, or the ideas of Tumah, that were eventually formed, directed, coalesced, refined, to reach points of Tahara. The Erez, he says, refers to Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the great seer, and who taught Torah to the generations after him. You need a Rebbe in order to learn Talmud Torah. Because Moshe was the seer, passed on the Torah to the other generations, passed it on to the 16 generations that came after him. That's what they reference in the 16 chronotes, is the 16 generations, that the Mesorah comes from Moshe Rabbeinu, and that you need a Mesorah Rebbe, the Talmud, in order to learn Torah properly. Bird, or the Bar Yochni that we mentioned, is parallel to the Torah, because we said that the Torah is the Mishelet Tzipur. The egg is connected to the Aseret Dibrot, he says. Shem Klala Torah, which are the generalizations, they are the Tamsit, a summary of all that is in the Torah. Like Rav Saadia Gaon says, that you can learn all the mitzvot from the Aseret HaDibrot. And therefore, one time, the egg fell, which is the Shvirat HaLuchot, because of the Avona Egel, and it buried 60 cities. Guzma Kamar, obviously, that is an exaggeration. Like Tosfot says, in every place, that 60 always references something that is big, or a generalization, or exaggeration, not Dafka. So the fact that it was an unfertilized egg or an unsuccessful egg is a remez to luchot rishonot that would not be viable because they would be broken. And it's a remez to the effects of the egel that it buried 60 cities and 300 cedars is the impact of the avona egel that it had, that the break of the luchot and the avona egel had reverberating effects, not just for that generation, but even for the generations afterwards. That's how the Marsha tries to deal with this agadato that was brought down by Rabbi Shmuel ben Katriel. What's interesting again, which I mentioned before, is that the first statement he makes is a halachic statement, and then the other statements become agadic statements. First one we take literally, and then the others are taken allegorically. Alright, Shlosh Granot Maser Beima. There are three times a year where one has to count out their Maser Beima. Beprusa Pesach, Beprusa Seret, or Beprusa Chag. There's Prus, we'll see in the Gemara, is 15 days. So it's 15 days before Pesach, 15 days before Shavuot, and 15 days before Sukkot. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. V'nazai Omer, B'srim v'tisha v'adar, on the 29th of Adar, B'chad v'sivan, the 1st of Sivan, B'srim v'tisha v'av, on the 29th of Av. Where I'll discuss what the machloket between them is. V'lazai v'rabbi Shimon Omrim, B'chad v'nisan. It's on the 1st of Nisan. B'chad v'sivan, the 1st of Sivan, Kavtet v'elul, and the 29th of Elul. V'lam amru b'esrim v'tisha v'elul. Why do they say the 29th of Elul? V'lo amra b'chad v'tishrei, and they don't say Rosh Hashanah. B'nei shehu yom tov. Rosh Hashanah is a yom tov. V'yavshar laser b'yom tov. We'll see that in the Gemara as well. Tomorrow's daf, why you can't take maser on yom tov, or you can't do maser on yom tov. L'fikach, hikdimua b'esrim v'tisha v'elul. That's where they moved it up to the 29th of Elul, because it can't be done on Rosh Hashanah. That's why they're inconsistent, meaning that they say Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Rosh Chodesh Sivan. They should have said Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. Why do they not say Rosh Chodesh Tishrei? Because Rosh Chodesh Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, they backed it up to 29th Elul. Rabbi Meir Omer, Bechad Be'elul, Rosh Hashanah, the Maser, Be'imar. When is the threshold for the new and the old when it comes to Maser? We say we're not allowed to mix them. The threshold is the first of Elul. Benazai Omer, Elulim, Mitasrim, Bifnei Atzman. He says that Elul itself, they're a standalone entity. Kol HaNodinidim, Echad Mitishrei, Vadasrim, Betisha, Be'elul, Ha'eirul, Mitztarfim. So this is clearly according to Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Lazar before, that anything that is born from the first of Tishrei till the 29th of Elul, they are mitzrayim, they're a single goren. Chamisha lifnei Rosh Hashanah, v'chamisha l'achar Rosh Hashanah, five are born before Rosh Hashanah, five after Rosh Hashanah, ina mitzrafim. They're not mitzrayim, obviously. They need it for the next part. Chamisha lifnei goren, chamisha l'achar goren, five before the goren, five after the goren, which were mentioned above the three granot that we had, are elu mitzrafim, they are mitzrayim. So then what's the purpose of the Shlosh Granot? If it doesn't matter, they're mitzvah before and after. Before the Goren comes, you're allowed to sell animals, you're allowed to shech the animals. Once the Goren comes, if you're not allowed to shech, if you do shech, that you are patur. We'll explain this all in 1 second in the Gemara. One thing that we didn't explain is why, according to Ben Azai, the Elul is by itself. He has a safek as to when Rosh Hashanah for Maaser Behema is. Blaz and Rabbi Shimon clearly say that Rosh Hashanah for Maaser is Rosh Hashanah, the first of Tishrei. Rabbi Meir say that it is the first of Elul. So Ben Azai, who's in between, says, I don't know, I have a safek. I don't know if it's Rosh Chodesh Elul or Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. I don't know if it's Rosh Hashanah or Rosh Chodesh Elul. Therefore, he says, all animals born between Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Chodesh Elul, they go together. Anything born between Rosh Chodesh Elul and Rosh Hashanah, they'll be by themselves, because I'm not sure if they belong to the previous year or to the next year. And so that's Ben Azai's position. Ben Azai's position is a safek between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Loza and Rabbi Shimon. Right now, the Gemara says, Mashna Tlat. Why are there three granot that are mentioned in our Mishnah? So Amar Rabbi Barshila, the Kabel Chorfei, the Afrei, the Kaitei. Because it's to capture the animals born in the different seasons. There'll be the early birds who give birth before Pesach. There'll be the medium birds, the ones that give birth before Shavuot. And then there'll be the Johnny-come-latelys, the late ones that do it b'kaitei in the summer, and therefore they have a goren by Sukkot. So Amar Rabbi Dan Chobrei de Rabbi Chia Ish Barako, Kedei, Shutei Mideima Mitzuya Lo'olei Regalim. Why did they set these as the thresholds for Vaiser Beima? Because they wanted to have animals available for the Olei Regalim. Even though our Mishnah says, well, it says, until the Goren comes, you can take an animal, you can sell it, and you can shecht it. So if you need an animal before, people could sell and shecht their animals before. Who says they're going to have animals available by the Regel? Because you make the Goren there. They're allowed to do whatever they want with the animals before that point in time. Ella, what's the answer? Nechalei. The Aved mitzvah b'mone. People like to do mitzvah with their money, especially when it doesn't really cost them anything. And then they afterwards will transact in these animals. So now, b'mai korilei gorin. So why are these called granot? The tavla k'gorin. They function like the gorin of grains. Just like by grains, once you hit the gorin, they become tevel. And you can't eat it until you're mafrish the trumot and masrot. The Goren, or granot here, mi derabanan, do the same thing to Maaser Behema. Maaser Behema is not an obligation. Maaser Behema only happens if you take 10 animals, put them into the corral, and then count them out. That's why we don't have Maaser Behema today. We just don't do that. We don't count the 10 out, and we're not makdish. The 10th animal is Maaser Behema. It's something that you can do. It's optional. It's the right thing to do. But if you don't do it, there's no isur tevel that is associated with them min ha-Torah. So that means a person could go all year and do whatever they want and never do Maaser Behema, which is exactly what happens today. But what the Chachamim did was, they established periods in the year where they wanted to stop people and say, all animals that were born until this point, when you hit this threshold, you can't sell them, you can't shecht them, midirabanan. You can't do it, they're like tevel midirabanan, until you've been mafrish Maaser Behema. Now they did that, they created those thresholds, those times, right before the regel. So a person who has animals born in the spring before Pesach will transact in those animals. Why? He wants to do the mitzvah of Maaser Behema. So when does the mitzvah of Maaser Behema trigger? It triggers either Rosh Chodesh Nisan, 15 days before Pesach, with Machloket in our Mishnah, which we'll get to. That triggers a threshold where he's not allowed to transact or eat anymore after that point. After that point, what does he do? He takes them all into the corral and does Maaser Behema. After he's done Maaser Behema, they become free and clear now to be used for whatever he wants. But that means that there's going to be a large number of animals that are available right before the regel, because nobody's going to be selling and transacting or eating these animals until they've done Meiser Behema. Meiser Behema, those thresholds are right before the regel, and that's the time that they're going to become nitar. Again, the Isser Tevel is all midrabanan. This Shlosh Granot is a din drabanan. Midoraita, anything born in the same year can be brought together to be Meiser Behema. Chamim just created these stop points for you to do Meiser Behema at that point. That's one. Number two is, you can do whatever you want with the animals beforehand. You could sell them, you could shech them, you can eat them, you can do whatever you want. That's both midrabanan and midoraita. Once you've crossed over the Goren, midrabanan, they restricted you from transacting or eating these animals until you performed Maaser Behema, similar to Tevel by Dagan. Over there it became Tevel for Maaser Behema, but it's all midrabanan. Midoraita, you can continue doing whatever you want. Midrabanan, they said, this is a stop point. You must be mafrish Maaser Behema at this point. That's why the Mishnah says, if you violate that and shecht it, you're not supposed to, but you're patur. They didn't put a knas on you, but they should do it. Now, the Gemara here tells us that people wanted to do the mitzvah of Maaser Behema. They want to do mitzvah with their money. And number two, it doesn't really cost them anything. Because Maaser Behema belongs to the Baalim. Either it gets taken up to the Mikdash, and then you eat it like a shlamim, or you wait for a moment, and then you get to keep it and eat it yourself with some little restrictions on it. So Maaser Behema, you're really not losing anything, and you can perform a mitzvah. So people didn't usually shecht and sell beforehand, even though they were permitted, both midrabanan and midoraita, before that threshold of the Goren, because they wanted to perform the mitzvah of Maaser Behema. Kama pras. What is the pras or prus that's mentioned in our Mishnah? There's Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and prus, pachot mitav yom. No pras or prus, less than 15 days. It means half. Pras means a broken piece, a half. My mashma, how do you know that means 15 days? Dam Rabbi, prus, pauga. Prus means half. Pauga demai. Half of what? Pauga de hilchot of Pesach. It's half of the hilchot of Pesach. Yad de tanya, sholi mitoshim, hilchot of Pesach, godam Pesach, lamed yom. You begin to darshan halachot the Pesach 30 days before the Pesach. Shem Gamliel Omer, Shtei Shabbatot, 2 weeks. So the Prus is half of that period of time. It's 30 days for Pesach to learn halachot Pesach before Pesach. Then Prus, half of that is 15 days. And that's why Pras or Prus means 15 days. Now the Gemara will discuss the Machloket in our Mishnah, then how does that end up in the time frame or the dates that are mentioned in our Mishnah. Tosafot also adds here that the 30 days before does not include the day itself, does not include the Yom Tov itself. Because by Pesach, you have an interesting dilemma. 30 days before Pesach would be if you talk about from the first day of Pesach, the 15th of Pesach. But you also need it to be 30 days before Erev Pesach, because there's a Korban HaPesach and Erev Pesach. So Tosafot at first says, oh, it does include the day of the action. The 30 days includes the day of the action, because Erev Pesach is counted in one of those 30 days. And Erev Pesach is the main action in Pesach. That's when the Korban HaPesach was shechted. In the end, Tosafot rejects that idea. That happens to be a quirk by Pesach. But the 30 days before Sukkot and the 30 days before Pesach refer to the first day of Yom Tov and does not include the first day of Yom Tov itself. It happens to be that Erev Pesach happens to be a little bit earlier because of the Korban HaPesach. That's a quirk in Erev Pesach. Not that that means it's 30 days including the day that you actually do the Maaseh. That's at Big Tosfot on the right side. And they're trying to discuss or trying to figure out whether the day itself of action is included in the 30 days or not. Okay, we'll stop over here.